Here we are, April. No, I wish. Oh, I wish March was over with. March 3rd, Sunday, p.m. We are looking at Hebrews. We just started getting into Hebrews. And all I meant to say here, I am going to put the Pal Talk screen down so I don't see people writing whatever. Not that you do anyway, but it just takes my mind off. It doesn't take much to distract me anymore. Seriously, it does not take much to distract me and get me off point and forget what I was doing. So, what was I doing? Ah, yes, Hebrews. So we did an introduction this morning about Hebrews. And we'll see if I can just review a few things. We've got some words we're going to be looking for as we go through this thing. Trust, and especially the word if, I-F. If we hold fast the confidence, if ye hear his voice, if Jesus had given them rest, if they shall fall away, if we sin willfully, if any man draw back, if ye endure chastening. We don't get the word if like the tribulation folks get the word if, believe me. Yes, there's faith in the tribulation, and there's grace, and there's salvation, no doubt. But it all has the word if involved. And we'll pick up on that as we go here. We're going to look for words like covenant, priest, blood, rest, angels. We'll talk about that a little bit now here. We'll see things that are taught in churches today all over the country, if they're Great Commission churches. And you'll realize, if you talk to people, most people don't know what the Great Commission is anymore. Not that I've been around the country to find this out, but when I talk to people, nobody knows what I'm talking about. So even that thing is gone. I suppose the Baptist churches hang on to it, you know, because they're part of this Great Commission thing. So we'll see some things that are being taught in the churches today that are not to be taught to us, for us, sure, fine, but not to us. We'll learn an awful lot about Jesus, but Paul has to say to the Jews about this Messiah they killed is fantastic stuff. Now, you know, think about it. Here's Paul when he first gets this thing rolling, way back, just right after Stephen is killed, you know, and he's telling these Jews that there's life after there's a resurrection, you know, about God's righteousness versus theirs and all that stuff. First time they heard it, so, and they just get mad at Paul, you know, they just get mad at Paul. But boy, when you read what Paul says to the Jews in the book of Hebrews, he gets down to the nitty-gritty details of who this Jesus really is and what he does and who he is. So I don't care when Hebrews was written. I know where God put it in a dispensationally correct Bible. He has it after Paul's teaching to the Gentiles. And we know that he's teaching this stuff to the Jews because it says Hebrews, you know. It's too bad that God didn't have the books of Paul started off with a book called Gentiles, but you don't have to have a title to read the fact that it is to the Gentiles, but some people need to have it. Well, I guess some people don't need to have it plain because here it's plain as day, and pastors still preach this stuff to Gentiles, even though it says to Hebrews. We know that it's taken place, it's written for the Jews during the last days, because verse 2 says, hath in these last days. But we also know that between when Paul was working with the Gentiles, John and the apostles were working to the Jews with a little Gentile influence in there, and Paul's writing to the Hebrews, Paul's ministry to the Gentiles pops in right in the middle of all that stuff, kind of spreads it apart, separates it there. So God wanting Paul to talk to the Jews, this is where he put whatever he said to the Jews, this is where he puts it, after the Gentiles. Makes total sense. It's not a hard thing to deal with. So, you know, I don't care when it was written. You got all these scholars, we're not even sure this was written by Paul. Well, I'll shock the folks out there. No, it says at the end of my book in Hebrews, it says they're written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy. So why is this not the epistle of Timothy? Well, because Paul's the one that said these things. Paul was the one that the risen Savior told face to face what to say, what to tell the Jews. Timothy's the guy with the pen, or the keyboard, or, you know, whatever, the feathered pen, if even that. That's all. It's just they want to do everything they can to disprove Paul, period. just like they'll believe anything to believe in evolution. You know? Just like they'll believe anything to think that guns are dangerous. They'll just whatever, you know? Start off with a lie, show that the lie was actually a lie, and they still believe the original lie. It's a reprobate mind is what we got going on here. We will also see as we read through Hebrews slowly here, some things about the church. The church. Yeah, really, yeah. And we also mentioned the word therefore and wherefore. Therefore is it's a preposition that it modifies, it connects. What took place before the word therefore would give more meaning to what takes place after the word therefore. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Therefore, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And there you go. It just all ties in. Wherefore explains why. It gives an explanation. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Wherefore, da-da-da-da-da-da. And you got to read all that stuff together. Okay. And if you don't understand this stuff, we talked this morning in Hebrew in Romans 11:25, if you don't understand this whole situation with the Jews today and Paul's teachings to the Gentiles and the rightly dividing and this sort of thing, then you will be one of those modern Christians who is wise in your own conceit. Conceits, it says in plural there. Okay, so with that, we didn't get very far this morning. In fact, I kind of forgot how far we got. I think we only got as far as verse 3, if even that. Being made much better with angels. Yep, okay. Here we go. So are we ready? Let me move these notes aside over here. I got so much to do before tomorrow. I kind of hope we have a snow day, even though I need the rehearsal. I could use a snow day. Okay, here we go. Let's just start at the beginning again. Verse 1. Now, the one this morning was the introduction. Tonight is part one. Here we go. And for those of you that are watching the video of this thing, you're going to get no face contact because I'm just kind of buried into the book right here. We're just going to read through this thing and comments being made. Here we go. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners, we explained what that was this morning, spake in time past unto the fathers. See, they're not my fathers. They're the Jewish fathers by the prophets, okay, Old Testament. That's why we read the Old Testament. We still need to know what God told these people through the prophets. It's still there for us to learn. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now here we go. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We mentioned the fact that Christ was how God created everything, and how the modern Bibles don't use Jesus in Colossians chapter 3, I think it is. And the modern Christians out there use Bibles, that modern creationists out there use Bibles that don't even use that take Jesus out of the creation process. It's just amazing they don't see that. Or if you need to tell them, they don't care. But anyway, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his persons, we went to Colossians 1:15, express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, by himself, that would be good towards the Catholics, wouldn't it? He didn't need mother to be there with him. Anyway, when he had by himself purged our sins, our meaning the Jews, that is not an our referring to us, that's to the Jews, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, these are quite the sentences, you know, right? We talked about that too. Okay. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Okay. Now, let's read on here. And like I said this morning, we explained those first three verses, plus the importance of chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11 of Romans. Kind of helps set the platform or the table for studying Hebrews about the Jews, okay? Now, here we go. Let's start with 4 again. Being made so much better than the angels, okay? Now, you've got people today that got angels in their pockets, angels on their tie tack, angels in their hair clips, angels, guardian angels, the whole spiel. And sometimes they'll say things like, well, I guess my guardian angel was so busy, he didn't have time to rescue me from this one. And you know, and our kids hear that kind of talk, and they think, Mom and Dad, you are just nuttier than a fruitcake. What are you talking about? You know, do they don't see angels stepping in and doing their thing, you know? Whatever. So, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So now Paul's going to tell these Jews, man, this Jesus, this Son of God, is above the angels. Whoa, that's pretty high up there. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. See, now, we got to slow down our reading. We might have just blown through verse 5 and forgotten there's a question mark there. There's two question marks there. And this is Paul saying to these guys who think these angels are cool, you know, he says, For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son? He never said that to any angels. This day have I begotten thee. Never said that to any angels. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, capitalist. He never told that to any other angels. You know, he certainly did not tell that to Jesus and Lucifer, and then you guys come up with a plan, and whichever plan I pick, that's the one we'll go with. That's the Mormon basis. Right? So that's what the Mormons are taught. Jesus and Satan are brothers, and they both had to write down a plan, and God went with Jesus, not Lucifer's. Yeah, I know. Okay, verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Worship him, you know. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Well, see, no, there's, look at that, angels. He said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now notice what he says there. Unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. Trinity. You know, anyway, it's forever and ever. So God isn't dead. Christ is still alive. Christ is risen. Christ knows exactly what's going on. But Christ paid the penalty for the law, took care of the law, fulfilled the law. And now we're just keeping track of our works because we put it through the judgment seat of Christ and we come out of there maybe with something. I hope we can, or I can, or you can. And he says here, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. There it is again. There's Colossians 3. Oh, let's go back and do it again. Here, Colossians 3. I never can find that. I should probably underline that thing here pretty soon. I know it's isn't it Colossians 3? Maybe it's Colossians 1. That's such a lousy memory. I know it's Colossians 3. Where's it at here? Isn't it Colossians 3? Okay, this is so dumb. Of course, I'm not looking up to see if anybody's writing to me about it, but that's Colossians 3. There's Colossians 1. Okay, now I got to find this thing. This is so irritating. I got to put this thing up in case somebody's helping me out here. Help the old man out here. Okay, good to see you there, Michael. Okay. It's not, I know it's Colossians 3. It is Colossians 3. I'm convinced it's Colossians 3. The image of him that created him. Sorry, I'm reading too fast. That's what I'm doing here. But I sure don't see it in there. Is it Ephesians 3? Oh, it's Ephesians 3. Shame on me. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Ugh, sorry about that. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, Paul's goal there, his objective, whatever, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And it's Colossians 1:16 that says, for by him were all things created. Okay, now we've got that straightened out. See, Paul tells it again to the Jews. Okay? See, we don't have to, I said it this morning, we don't have to go to the book of Hebrews to get what Paul teaches to the Gentiles. I mean, Paul taught that to the Hebrews. That's fine. When we go to Paul, Paul still teaches that to us. Like I said, whatever God wants Paul to teach to the Jews that's also in the Gentile books, we don't need to go to the Jewish books to find it and pick out whether it's to us or not. It's already stated by Paul. It's not an excuse to go get into Hebrews and Peter and James and John and Jude, because there's some stuff Paul, you know, some stuff in there Paul taught, so let's read the whole thing. No, it's written to the Jews. Okay, get back to this here. Verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And a scepter is like the authority that he's got. It's like you've got yourself a sword. I mean, that's your piece of authority there. And his authority is based on righteousness. Our righteousness? Well, of course not. His righteousness. And as Paul says to us, Gentiles, in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now it's no longer the law. It's Christ's righteousness that he imputes to us. So that is his power, his authority of his kingdom. It's his righteousness. He has done the right thing. And again, these modern Christians who have this conceit about themselves, you know, the deceit, how does that go? They're wise in their own conceits. They think that their righteousness is getting blessed by God. They really think that. They really believe that they're living a good enough life that God will bless them. God is blessing us spiritually. He will bless us physically after the judgment seat of Christ. It's just that simple. It's just that obvious. Okay. Da-da-da-da. Thou hast loved righteousness. I think I read that one. They're reading it anyway. And hated iniquity. See, what would your life be like? What would our lives be like if we loved righteousness and hated iniquity? Well, we'd be persecuted, like Paul says, you know. Well, we do get that, don't we? There's stuff in the school I see going on with kids. The kids are being taught. I hate that stuff. I mean, I just hate it. And you can't just walk out in the hall and grab a Bible and start preaching. This is a den of future tribulation participants. Pretty tough stuff. Got to find when to drop a seed or two here and then everywhere. But to hate iniquity, wow. To hate it, you know. Let me check something here. Oh, it's because I can't spell. Let's move over here to Paul's verses here. Hate. You know, people hate God. We don't hate God. There was a time when we hated, and that's all Paul talks about. But the word hate. Now he uses the word abhor, that which is evil. What is abhor? That's even harder than hate. And what about this modern religion and all these modern Christians and this modern Bible stuff and all this stuff that's flying around everywhere? Despise that stuff. Yeah, Paul's pretty tough here. Anyway, when people say the Lord never hated, oh, he hates iniquity. He hated iniquity. That's what it says right there. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, he calls him Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Again, Ephesians 3, whatever the verse is, and Colossians 1:16. Now, this is really interesting stuff right here at 17. I'm sorry, at 11. They shall perish. What shall perish? What's the word they? Grammar time, they modifying what? Let's go back to 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They, meaning the heavens, shall perish. But thou remainest, which I'm glad, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. You know, global warming, environmental baloney, littering, tree running out of trees, even though I know that we have more trees in America now than they did back in the early days of America. we have insects now that were not in America, that they brought over with shipping and stuff from Europe and Africa, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we know what they brought over from Africa, too, that has caused troubles. We got this, we got jazz, we got rock music, we got all that stuff started back there in the Caribbean and came over from that long story there. So wax old as doth a garment. The environmentalists can do all they want, but they are not going to stop this earth, this planet, the heavens, from waxing old. It's not going to happen. And, make it even harder, us people cannot stop ourselves from waxing old. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah, we're getting the wrinkles. We're getting the aches and pains. When you wake up in the morning, you're kind of disappointed because you didn't die, but you're kind of happy that you can actually get out of bed. It's getting that way. I'm only 63. You're only 63. What are you complaining about? Well, I'll tell you what. I feel worse at 63 than I did at 53. And some of you folks are 73. LD, you'll be listening to this thing. I think you're, I must be at least 83. I don't know. So we are waxing old. We're just gonna. Spend all the money you want, you're going to continue to wax old. And, verse 12, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. Again, what is them? The heavens. They're waxing old as doth a garment. So he's going to take, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Well, we go into Peter. Well, play this whole heavens are going to burn up and start as anew. It's going to be redone. It all ties in. So why is he telling this to the Jews? Well, he's having to explain to these Jewish people that these Jews who think these angels are something special, this Son of God is higher than the angels. Whoever said to the angels, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Whoever said to the angels, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." He never told that to any angels. And the scepter of this kingdom is the fact that Christ fulfilled the law, so it's his righteousness that gives him the authority to even be any of this kind of stuff here. And yes, Jesus does hate something. He hates iniquity. And as far as the earth goes, you know, you people out there in the web world that thinks we can make this world last forever, you know, like in 100 years, 1,000 years or something, where America is going to be a different shape of a country. What, do you think it's going to float somewhere else? What a stupid thing to think that the continents floated around like they're empty cans or trash on top of the ocean. They're part of the earth. You can't float these continents around. But if they want to think that, oh, you know, in 1,000 years, we're just not going to have any, we're going to get hit by an asteroid or something. No, in 1,000 years or sooner, you're going to get hit by somebody who says that he's the Christ, and he's not. But if you're going to get hit by an asteroid in 1,000 years, that's 1,000 years. What? You're going to make laws about that now? They're going to spend billions of dollars how to shoot down an asteroid. Yeah, right. It's just crazy. Anyway. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? So I'm not going to say he's knocking the angels, but he's knocking them down a couple notches so these people realize that Jesus was above these angels. There's no angel sitting on the right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That's Christ himself. Okay. Now, here we go. Here is what the angels are. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's what they are. So chapter 2, he says, therefore. Now, before we go to the other side of therefore, let's go back at this verse 14 just for a second here. You know, let me check the hall. My room is like an oven in here. I think I'll leave it open. Get some fresh air in here. It's a little cubicle. Anyway. Angels are ministering spirits, and they are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Well, that's good. Does that mean we have angels ministering to us today? Well, aren't we heirs of salvation? No, not really. Okay, so for one thing here, what does Paul say about angels? Not great to Gentiles. You know, if angels are going to be ministering to us, and you would think Paul would be telling us a lot about them. Matter of fact, in Corinthians, he tells us that we're going to be the one to judge angels. He tells people not to worship angels in Colossians. In Timothy, he talks about angels being elect and the elect angels. And that's all he talks about. Well, okay, so where do we hear this stuff about angels? Well, in Hebrews. Well, it's the Jews. It's to the Jews. Well, what about this heirs of salvation? Aren't we heirs of salvation? No, we're not. Actually, no, we're not. No. Yeah, we are. No, we're not. Romans chapter 3. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. So these people with angels in their pocket, they just got rocks and pebbles. I see somebody said something. Let me check it out here. Okay, Ephesians 3:9. People have angels in their pockets. They got rocks in their pockets. That's all they got. They got their little bookmarks. It reminds them that their guardian angel is watching over them. You know what this guardian angel concept is like? It's like St. Christopher medals. And I've always, for years as a kid, wanted to go to the junkyard and find out and find all the cars that would have had St. Christopher medals hanging from the mirror, or the Statue of Mary, or the Statue of St. Christopher glued to those metal dashboards in those days. Ah, where was your guardian angel during that thing? And your children have guardian angels? Tell that to somebody whose child was killed by a car accident, or shot with a gun who wasn't even near the gun thing taking place out there. Where was that little kid's guardian angel? What, he can't stop a bullet? What about these children that have lousy, horrible, rotten parents? Where's the guardian angel to stick up for those kids and to fix mom and dad? That'll teach them to help that little boy or girl grow up to be a, you know, a Christian man or woman. Where's all this stuff at? Well, it's because there aren't any. So, look at Romans 4. Let's go to 4, verse 13. Let's look at this heir thing. Are we an heir? Is this what we're talking about? Is it referring to us? Well, verse 13, 4:13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Oh, now that's starting to make sense now, doesn't it? Because the law worketh wrath. These guys aren't heirs because they're walking the law, believe me. They're not able to walk the law. If they could, it would make faith void. So being an heir is still based on faith, even for the Jews here. We'll show you, you know, Abraham being mentioned. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. So it talks about the faith of Abraham. It goes on there, imputed for us, etc., etc. Now, if we look at Romans 8:17, what about this one? It says that we're joint heirs with Christ. Well, yeah, we are. That's true. And if we go to Galatians 3:29, we see, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That puts us in there. We're joint heirs. We're part of the heir. But does that make us the heirs? No, the heirs already exist, and we are being made joint heir by what Paul teaches to us. Ephesians, you can think of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See, in verse 12, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, verse 16, we're reconciled. But does that make us heirs? Are we the heirs he's talking about in Hebrews? Well, first of all, we know that the word us and our, and Paul is talking to the Hebrews, so that's who we're talking about here. But beyond that, it seems like we've been made joint heirs. But are we the heirs of salvation? Because if we are, we have ministering spirits of angels who are set forth. They minister unto us. But Paul never tells us that. He's telling this to the Jews. In fact, Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. But do you see there that we are fellow heirs? It means there was heirs before us. Now we're part of heirship. We're joint heirs. There was heirship already there. And if we go to Titus chapter 3, verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. Yeah, the heirship already exists with the Jewish people, and we will be part of that. He's taken down that wall of partition. He's making us joint heirs. We are not the heirs. The Jews are the heirs. We've been put onto that bandwagon. So, you're being pretty picky, aren't you? No, not really. Just being kind of common ground here, not a big deal. I'm certainly no Hebrew scholar, believe me. I'm not even a Paul scholar. I'm not even a scholar. I don't even remember the fingerings for the flute. I'm not even a musical scholar. None of that stuff. This Bible just is very simple, very plainness of speech, as Paul says, the simplicity that's in Christ. So, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs and joint heirs of salvation? No, just the heirs, and that's the Jews. And that heir of salvation is not based on the law, because if it was the law that made them heirs of salvation, then grace would be void. Wouldn't be there. Faith would be void. I'm sorry. Faith would be void. So faith is still an issue here. However, we receive the faith of Christ. It's his faith we're standing on. These folks have to stand on their own. So, if they don't hold fast the confidence, if they fall away, if they sin willfully, if they draw back, if they can't endure chastening during the tribulation, they're history. It's done. They no longer have that salvation. They no longer have that heirship because they lost it. So they have ministering spirits, angels, to help them. So we go to Revelation chapter probably 3. We see where Christ is going to rebuke and chasten those people during the Laodicean church age, the tribulation. He can spew them out of his mouth. So they will be part of the hour of temptation, it says. And Christ, and the Bible says that we are going to be kept from the hour of temptation of Philadelphia church here. We're going to be kept from that. We don't have to worry about the tribulation. But boy, they sure do. We go to Acts chapter 2. We go to Acts chapter 2, I think it is. And we all know this verse. We're going to go there anyway. We go to Acts chapter 2, and we see in verse 17, that shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And here's where the sons and daughters shall prophesy. And the young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. Tribulation. So these ministering spirits, the Spirit of God upon their flesh, the angels will be for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's the tribulation crowd, and if they want to do the right thing, don't take the law, have the patience of saints, don't take the law, don't take the mark and walk the law. And when he comes, the moment he comes, they're clean. Then they receive his grace, which Peter talks about. Well, let's see if I can find it. I think I got it marked. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 2 here. Let's see here. Yep, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if they, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, which they have to do during the tribulation, we don't have to, Paul never tells us to escape the pollutions of the world. He says if you'd have to do that, you'd have to leave the planet. You have to leave Earth. We're out amongst it. We can't hide from it. But the tribulation, they will have to escape the pollutions of the world. They cannot take the mark to get their food, get their clothes. They can't buy, sell, or trade without any of that kind of thing. Parentheses. We see it coming around, don't we? Unparentheses. So, if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, see, he's still the Lord and Savior, they are again entangled therein with the pollutions of the world and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. They're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. If we trip up and quit up and quit walking the right thing and doing the right stuff and walking, reading Paul and realizing the joy we're supposed to have, and we just give all this stuff up, and we go a couple months and life just stinks, or life is really good. You know, devil might just bless you with a good life to keep you from going back. But you go back to this book, you get back into this thing again, man, you are back. You never left. Christ is still in us. Christ will still be there for you, but you got to open your book. I know some folks that have had their life is like crashed. And they hate God because they thought God would be there, or the angels, how could God love me and let me have this happen to me? Because you're the one rejecting God. God is not rejecting you. And you're trying to follow a gospel that pastors have put on you, that you've got ministering spirits, and they just must not like you because they're letting you crash. So of course you're mad at God. But if you wise up and you just look at this Bible, rightly divide this thing and get into this thing, God will show you. You'll get that understanding, and will your life change? The only thing that'll change your life is you. God is not going to miraculously shift gears on you and bless you. If he has, where is my money I need to get out of my mess? Why are my ministering angels selling my house in Kadoka? Does God know that we still need to live in there in a couple of years? Is he making us keep that thing? That's how you can look at it. That's how you can look at it from a Great Commission standpoint. I know, I've been hearing that. But what's going on here? Okay, get off the subject and make your point. I don't know if I made my point. I know I probably made it to you folks, but if I made it to the visitors that are listening when they get into this thing, Hebrews is there for us, it's not to us. Now, we'll finish this up by going to chapter 2, verse 1. All those things that we just read about angels and Jesus above the angels, the whole thing, okay, and the ministering spirits, therefore, so we better have chapter 1 down really well. Read it 2 or 3 times. You know, if anybody's out there, get over this, read 10 pages a day to get God's blessing. That's an evangelistic bunch of baloney put out by a very famous evangelist who swears that he wants no money unless you're teaching the Great Commission. And if you want to believe the Great Commission, everybody likes this guy. He's a tough little guy, you know, kind of a thing. He's wrong. He is eternally wrong on this stuff. Therefore, anyway, read that chapter over and over until you get it. When you get it, therefore, he says in chapter 2, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Why? Well, because we're talking about this Jesus who's higher than the angels. Da 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 da. It's important stuff here. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Oh, you mean the stuff that you've been told and preached at and taught, everything like the Jews now, if they let that stuff slip. See, this is one of the many times in Hebrews we get that should let them slip, or if you don't do this, or if you don't follow through, what happens? Well, we'll see it as we go through this book. These guys have a lot at stake. If they let slip what they've been taught, you tie in with what Peter says about it, their life will be worse than it was than when they started this whole religious routine. Amen. Yeah, that's just this. I'm really enjoying Hebrews this time around. Like I said, we taught it years and years ago, and we found all the things that the modern preachers are preaching out of Hebrews. That was good. That's a good series in there. Because that stuff is being taught in the churches today. Hebrews 13:7, Hebrews 13:17, you know. And if God doesn't chase you, then you're not even one of his children. That's Hebrews 12. And it's like, where do you come up with this stuff? If you know, Hebrews chapter 6, you can lose your salvation, you can't get it back, you know. That's today. That is not today. In fact, remember years ago when I was driving through Yakima to go visit my son, and I listened on the radio, and this preacher was telling people, we're going to have a revival in our church, we're going to go study the book of Hebrews, and we're going to get our lives back together. What a lie. Is it a lie? Well, it says here, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I haven't had a chance to talk to this pastor up here in Bismarck yet. You know, the devil's going to keep us from getting together. The devil will hinder anything to do with Paul's teaching. So, you know, whatever. Okay, so we will start with chapter 2, therefore, Wednesday night, if I'm not too worn out. If not, we'll pick it up again Sunday morning. By the time Wednesday rolls around, I will probably have an after-school rehearsal Tuesday because Monday, I've turned off the video here. Good night. Goodbye, video folks out there. Sorry about that. Turn this off now.